14,418, Dennis. That's the number of children that went through Georgia's foster care system during the fiscal year 2014. And on any given day, 8,000 are in the foster care system. Now, May is National Foster Care Month. Georgia Representative Erica Thomas of Austell wants to increase awareness about the plight of children raised in foster care. And Representative Thomas is a member of the Budget and Fiscal Affairs Oversight Committee, as well as the Juvenile Justice and Science and Technology Committees. Representative Thomas, thanks for taking the time.
No, thank you so much for having me.
Let's begin with your story. You were in Georgia's foster care system.
Well, actually, I was in Tennessee's foster care system, which is right above the border, less than 3 hours away. So starting off in my first home, I was about 14 years old. And within about a year of that, turning 14 to 15, I went through about six different homes. So I definitely saw what a lot of the foster care children see every single day, moving from home to home to home.
Are you comfortable talking about why you were placed in foster care to begin with?
Well, yes. Of course, you know, I feel like if you have a story and you've went through a struggle, then it's here to inspire others. So I don't mind talking about it. Well, I went into the foster care system because my mother joined a religion that kind of really brainwashed her, and it kind of took her away from the family life. You know, all my life, my mother was a great mother all the way up until I was 14, and then she kind of got brainwashed and started putting the religion over her children. My sister went away to college, and I think after that she kind of just snapped. I think my sister was her best friend, and she really couldn't talk to me about much stuff because I was young, you know. And so she went into the religion and just forgot about me and started to neglect me. And we went to court for it, and they found out what was happening. She stopped giving me lunch money because she found out that I was eating meat, which was against her religion. And we kind of got into it one day, and, you know, she got together with her church people, and they believed that I needed to be stoned. And so that was really crazy. So I ran, of course, when I heard that's what they were going to do. And once I called my mother and she found out where I was, and I told her I was okay, and she's like, okay, that's fine. But she ended up calling me in as a runaway. And so when we went to court, they were like, you know, they found out my grades and how great I was. I was class president at my school. I got straight A's. I was a really good student. And they were like, how could this child be unruly and a runaway? Something is wrong. And so it started coming out. And, you know, they asked me questions and they asked my mom questions. And she admitted to saying that I need to be stoned. And she admitted to choking me and neglecting and not giving me lunch money and things like that. And they took me out of her care for neglect.
And part of the problems, or some of the problems that we hear about in foster care systems, not just in Georgia but around the country, is that it's very difficult to monitor foster families. You said you'd been through quite a few in very quick succession after your mother lost custody of you. So did you experience abuse and neglect once you got into the foster care system, or did you go through so many just because that's how cases went?
Well, you're actually right about that. You know, when you have caseworkers out there that have about 30 children and only 30 days, you know, how can I check on that child to make sure that they are being stable and being treated in the way that they need to be treated? So the first couple of homes that I went through, yes, I did experience abuse and neglect, and I called my caseworker every single day. I remember in one home, I called her every single day, and either she didn't pick up the phone or she was like, Erica, we don't have anywhere for you to go right now. I have a lot of paperwork, things like that. And the craziest thing is that I remember once I got to my last home, and they had an investigation in one of the homes I was in before about a lot of the girls I didn't even know were getting abused, sexually abused in that home. And thank God I had ended up leaving that home before anything happened to me as far as sexual abuse. But a lot of the girls were getting sexually abused and abused. I was getting verbally abused and called out of my name. And it was really hard, you know. And I think that the hardest thing is that you have caseworkers in the system that are not getting paid maybe $20,000, and they're just like police officers. They're on call 24 hours a day. You know, a lot of times when kids are getting moved out of the homes, it might be 2 a.m. It might be 3 a.m. And how can you have someone dedicate their whole life, 24 hours of their life, and they're only getting paid enough to make ends meet, not enough to wake up at 2 a.m.?
A little bit of a fast forward then to now here in Georgia. We've had child welfare reform measures over a couple of years in the state legislature where you sit. Do you think that that is making it any better? And we're certainly not trying to say all foster homes are going to treat children the way you were treated in some of yours, but with decreased caseloads, are they where they need to be in Georgia, or do you want to see even lower caseloads now for these workers and you know, have we done enough so far?
Well, I would say this. I would say it's never enough for the children. The children always need more. But what I will say, what Governor Deal has been trying to do and what the legislator has been trying to do is an excellent step forward. I mean, he's given millions and millions of dollars to the system and bringing the money back to the system to where it needs to be for these children. Because when we think about the direction that Georgia is trying to go when it comes to better jobs and poverty, you know, a lot of that starts with the foster care system. When we put so much money into making sure that these kids have homes, you know, $15, $20 a day and things like that, then we lose money when we just don't have enough of, you know, the structure for these kids. And so I think that the money that we put in, we need to be able to see it when these kids come out of great homes and come out of, you know, more caseworkers being able to pay more attention to these child and then going from 30 kids to 15.
We're speaking with Georgia Representative Erica Thomas of Austell, talking about the state's foster care system, and she's also sharing her story as a teen in the foster care system. You mentioned Governor Deal, and we know that the state has come a long way just in general with DFACs, and the foster care system is under that. You talked about a boost in pay for caseworkers, reduction in caseload. There's, for the first ever, I think, a state child abuse registry, improved data sharing among state agencies. But as a legislator, are there some other changes you want to see implemented? What's still missing? Where does Georgia still need to improve in terms of, let's just focus on the foster care system for a second.
I've been trying to research that even before I was a legislator for the past 2 years. And sometimes when you're a legislator, you think that everything needs a law fix. And what I'm trying to figure out is how we can fix things without having to make a new law or having to write new legislation. I think that there's a lots of different ways to where we can bring people together. And one of the things that we're trying to do is build a campaign of awareness for Georgia. We're trying to make an awareness campaign because a lot of people don't know the things that we know that are going on in the system and might have different means to help. And so that's one of the biggest reasons why, you know, we're having this event on May 31st mm-hmm. to raise awareness for foster kids in Georgia. And sometimes once people know what's going on, they might have resources that might be better than legislation.
What's the biggest misconception about a foster child that, and I think usually it's that there's something wrong with the child, where in your case, your prime example of it was an issue with your mother. But there is a stigma attached to foster care children.
Oh, yes, there's definitely a stigma attached to them. I think one of the most misconceptions is that people think that we did this to ourselves, or, you know, I'm acting up because of something inside of me, when you might have on a shirt that the same shirt that you have on is where my father used to beat me with. And I might act out because of that, but you don't understand that is why. And another misconception is that we're just delinquent and we're just bad children. People don't know Steve Jobs was a foster child. The founder of Domino's Pizza was a foster child. Cher, John Lennon, there are a lot of successful foster children out there. And people have to know that. Don't put a stigmatism on one foster child because you've seen one act up in class. There's a lot of kids that act up in class, and sometimes we have that stigmatism on them. And a lot of the reasons, because these kids get bullied because they only have $200 a year to work with for clothes. Can you imagine just having $200 to get summer and winter clothes? And then they're bullied, and then once they're bullied, they act out. So sometimes we have to look at the root of the problem and see how we can help that. And like I said again, sometimes that might not be legislation. Maybe we can have outside resources to help bring in clothing.
But that brings up the question then of who vets the families and who goes out and finds new foster families, because you need new foster families all the time. So is that, though, something that really the state has to oversee in some way? There has to be legislation, there have to be standards, and are the current ones enough?
You're right. You're right. We have to have standards when it comes to looking for foster parents, because, again, these parents just can't, you know, they have to have enough time and patience and extra patience with these kids in order to help them and not hurt them. And so you are right. You know, we do need to have more legislation built around the way that we find these foster parents and the way that we keep them. It's so much legislation built around adoption and not enough built around foster care.
So are we seeing more caseworkers? You mentioned how far we've come. Are we seeing the demand, though, increase so that even as we add caseworkers, the demand increases and so the caseloads don't drop quite the way we want them to?
You're right. You're right. That is something that we need to see improve, and you're correct.
Representative Thomas, I want you to talk about who makes for a good candidate for a foster care parent. I mean, I can look on the website and see all the requirements, and they go through hours of training. But from your viewpoint, who's a good candidate for a foster care parent?
I would say, naturally, a good heart. A good heart. You can't say you have to have $2,500 a month. You can't say you have to have 7 bedrooms. But let me tell you something. You can work with less money, and a big heart can count for all of that.
Tell me about the last foster home you were in and how well those parents treated you.
Well, it's kind of a funny story, because I left one foster home just to go on respite. And respite is just over the weekend, where you just go to a foster home for the weekend, mm-hmm. if they're going on vacation or something like that, and they just need a break. And so when I pulled up to the house, it was like a movie, because kids were running around and they were laughing and playing, and they had all the snacks in their pantry. It was just so much. It was crazy from coming from 5 foster homes to this. And they nurtured me so much. You know, they wanted to help me build a relationship back with my mother. They wanted to see me in different, you know, sports and things like that. And so it really helped me, because they had a big heart.
And you were a teen, and we often hear that teens and sibling groups are the hardest to place. So you're a teenager going to a strange family, and finally you experience some happiness.
Yeah, and you're right. It's so hard for teenagers, because everybody wants a baby. Everybody wants someone that is so young and I can hold them. I can mold them. I can, you know, so it's so hard as a teenager, and a lot of kids are teenagers. And so that was a very hard placement for me. But let me just tell you something. When I got to that house, I told them, you're going to have to pull me out with chains if you want me to get out of here, because I am not leaving. And I guess it worked.
You mentioned resources outside of legislation. Just run through some of the ones that you'd like to see developed, and how can we develop them?
Well, I would love to see all of the older outside of foster care, age out foster children that were successful, come together and build some kind of realm around these children that are aging out of the system. 97% of the kids that age out of the system don't go to college. And I believe if we could build some kind of statue around these children and help them to grow, and that is one of the reasons, again, why May 31st at 7 p.m. at the Strand Theater.
Tell us about that event.
That's Marietta.
It's Marietta. It's May 31st at the Strand Theater. If you like Dancing with the Stars, you're going to love this event. We've got kids. They're going to be dancing and having a good time. It's at 7 p.m. We're raising money to start a campaign so that we can have the funds to build up and find out what's going on. So again, May 31st, 7 p.m., under perdition of Dancing with the Stars at the Strand Theater. It's Erica.com.
Before we say goodbye here, when the General Assembly starts up again, what will be your focus?
Well, it's hard to say something that's happening in lots of months later. But one of the key focuses is to find out, of course, my district, what are the key things that I can help for District 39. And secondly, of course, how we can help this foster care system and how I can work with the governor to make it right for all of the 10,000 foster kids in Georgia.
All right. Erica Thomas, Georgia representative of Austell, thanks for coming in and taking time. We appreciate it, and thank you for telling your story.
Thank you so much for having me. Please visit itserica.com.